When they asked me to share my testimony on the night they're discussing relationships, I thought they'd had a mistake. This is not what I'm really good at, relationships. Depression I can talk about, loneliness, pretty much any topic that they've given on here, that would have been better for me. But when they asked, I started praying, and I asked God to help me give my story and maybe encourage one of you guys tonight. You see, I've had little success with any kind of relationship. I have to credit the persistence of others, God, and His faithfulness to me for the lasting relationships that I've had in my life. A few years ago, I would have told you that I was an open book and that I was easy to get to know. What God has shown me over the past year is that although I am an open book, I only allow people to read certain chapters in my life. I get to know a person first, and then I decide which part of my life I share and how much I share. I'm very good with short-term deep relationships and long-term shallow relationships. Since coming to Watermark, I'm learning that sharing chapters of my life is not living authentically, and my walk with Christ has been unsuccessful in part because of this. I cannot recall a time in my life that I did not know who God was, nor His son, who His Son was. I came to know Christ and as my personal Savior in my late teens. It took another decade for me to grasp the truth of the cross and how vast His love for me was. I was married at the age of 18, and by the age of 24, I had two children. From the outside, our lives looked perfect. My husband and I played our parts very well. Seldom did we disagree on anything. We cohabitated, is what I like to call it, very well together. We both were great at doing what was expected of us, but neither of us was good at sharing our lives with anyone nor with each other. We were active in our church and community, teaching Sunday school, leading worship, and I'm sorry, my eyes, I'm trying to see this. We were in small groups, and I volunteered in our schools together. I cannot believe how well it worked and for how long. After 14 years of marriage, my family was ripped apart, and to this day I see the scars that it left on my children, on my ex, and on myself. When things fell apart, I took charge of my life and my children's lives, much the way I had always done. I was going to minimize the effect our broken family had on each of us. After being a stay-at-home mom, I went back to work and started pursuing a career. I also thought I could continue to teach Sunday school, volunteer in my children's school, and maintain a spotless house with hot-cooked meals. I did not know the toll all of this was taking on me, and no one around did as well. Less than a year after my divorce, my church started divorce care, and I jumped right in. I learned that being super mom and super Christian and career woman was humanly impossible, especially after divorce. I learned that what I was feeling was normal and was giving tools to move on. I followed almost all of the advice that I was given. How could things go wrong after I took all the needed steps to put my life back in place? I was on the fast track to healing and a new life, one that I was in charge of. After all, I'd been through DC, divorce care. Even volunteered after I had completed my session. I was in community and my career was playing out well with a good job. Definitely happiness was coming my way. That was in 1997 when I finally had the bull by the horns again. I was feeling great and I was making new friends at work and church. The pain was subsiding. I did not feel lonely or depressed, and I actually started liking the new person I was becoming. God was showing me so much about myself, and I felt I was going to be a whole person again. And sometime in late 97, I found myself spending far more time with my new work friends than my church friends. My new work friends believed in God, but they shared few of my beliefs or felt many of the teachings that I believed were antiquated. And I found myself wondering this too. I began to struggle living what I believed the Bible said. I never doubted that God loved me or wanted a relationship with me, but I started wondering about the Bible and all that it had to say. I did what I never thought I would do and started taking what worked for me so that I could do what made me feel good. I believe that tragedy has two effects on us. It did, I felt, at least for me. It can draw me closer to God, or it can pull me away. And my lack of trust in God made me vulnerable to the lies of the world, and my tragedy that I had experienced started driving me away. The course my life took, starting in 99, still leaves me with much remorse. And I struggle with the damage my choices left on my life and on others. I think I am just beginning to realize that I closed chapters of my life even to myself. Back then, it was easier to do what felt good at the moment than to do what I knew was right. I had taken charge of my life just the way I always did, but this time I was seeking what I thought was best for me. I did not patiently wait upon the Lord, as Psalms 41 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. I not only wanted things to go my way, I wanted them to happen in my timing. Although, after all, I had healed and was ready to move on with my life, I was not honest with myself or my friends about any of this. I was afraid that confessing my desires to my friends and at church would reveal my weaknesses. My divorce was final in 95, and the pain that it brought in my life and my children's lives was so difficult that I could not imagine anything more painful. What I know now is that the pain of mine and my ex's choices after our divorce brought far more pain on us and on our children. My children have both been upfront about the pain of our divorce now that they're grown. I wish that it were possible to undo it all, but I can't. I am thankful that I have the relationship that I do with my children today, and I can trust God that He will use all of it for good in their lives and in His timing. It is hard to admit that I actually came to a point where I did not think it was possible to follow all of God's word. I made countless bad choices after my divorce, and choices that hurt more than just me. The choice I regret the most is marrying my second husband. It is not the marriage I regret, but the undue pain I inflicted on him. And after 10 years of being single, I had met someone who captured my heart, who was not a match made in heaven. We were different. We were as different as two people could be. He was, however, a person I could finally be myself with. Someone I trusted to reveal the ugliness, my fears, my struggles. He got to see and hear it all. Our wonderful, volatile, loving roller coaster ride lasted only 3 years. And I cannot begin to describe the pain that was exposed in both of us, and I felt solely responsible. I was so upset with myself, and I never once thought about divorce care after our marriage ended. I hoped for a year that we would get back together, but he finally stopped calling. At this point in my life, I was not involved in church, and I had few friends that were still around. I really didn't want to start over again. I suffered more pain and found ways to medicate myself and forget. I continued doing this for almost 2 years after our divorce, and in September of 2010, I took a trip to Uganda to see my daughter and her family. My fourth grandchild was born on the 1st of August, and I was eager to see her. It was my second trip to Uganda, and I could not wait to get there. My first visit there was life-changing, and I was in need of a wake-up, and I knew it. I spent the whole month of September with them, and then we all flew back to the States. My wake-up did not happen there. While my daughter and family were here in Dallas, they wanted to attend church somewhere. They searched church websites and narrowed it down to two, and my daughter found the parking directions on the one site far too complicated, so we ended up coming to Watermark. So that's how I got here. So she asked if I would go with her, and of course I said yes, and the reason was I did not want to spend one moment without them around me. God never ceases to amaze me. The links that he will go to reach us, and his unending love. He started to break through my broken and unyielding heart that day. I cannot recall going to a service where I did not cry through worship, through the sermons, for the first 6 months. I still am brought to tears on occasion, but I can bring a friend now that can sit with me without being embarrassed. God is showing me how, no matter how much knowledge I have, I am unable to serve him on my own, and he doesn't expect me to. He has also shown me what a control freak I am, and how that one thing has been so detrimental in my life. This past November, I finished Group Link and am now in a community. It was harder on me to go than I ever imagined. Every Sunday on my way to Group Link, I would fight the urge to go back home, and on two occasions, I actually became ill. After getting to group, I still struggle to go. I want to leave. I want to quit. I stop and take a look back on my life and all my screw-ups, my ups and my downs, and trying to follow God on my own. I remind myself of Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I cannot do this on my own. I have a lot of proof of how easy it is to fall when you're standing alone. Galatians 5:17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. So I am going to forever struggle, and there is no way I can with this endless battle without help. I look at my life and see what I can do well on my own for the short periods, but if I want to stop the constant ebb and flow in my walk with Christ, I must learn to trust in him, which also means trusting others. For the first time in my life, I'm attempting to relinquish control. I think about tomorrow, I want to take control. So I am living each day, day by day.